Who turns off the music? Who turns off the music? Mr. Free. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's okay. What a beautiful day the Lord hath made. What's he say? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. You know, my husband does a thing. I don't know if it's on the borderline superstitious or what, but every time he leaves the house, even that he has had his walker and cane, he knocks on the corner of the house when he goes outside in the morning. He says, "What a beautiful day in Rocky Ridge." And it could be pouring down rain, and he says, "What a beautiful day in Rocky Ridge." Now, we all should strive to have that kind of good attitude. No, not yet. Okay, well, we are thrilled that everyone is here. Good to see Miss Dolores and all the others, and we just are appreciative of everyone in attendance. Do we have any announcements? Miss Tammy.
Tuesday night at 6 o'clock out in the parking lot, we will go over the one-day Bible camp me and Chelsea and Kelly have set up. Discuss what we're going to do and stuff, and hopefully next Sunday you will know more about this camp. It'll be down at the Rocky Ridge Park. The Easter baskets. Today's the last day if you'd like to order an Easter basket that us three are making. They're $10. The money goes towards Bible camp.
Good job.
And then we'll do the Easter baskets next Saturday. Me and Chelsea and Kelly, when we put them together. And then Sunday, I'll bring the ones to church that are ordered. And the ones that are not from church, I think we're up to 27.
Good. That's great, because you set a goal for 20.
We set a goal for 20, and then we set a goal for 30. So, you know, if we got to order more baskets, we will. I mean, they'll be here by next Saturday, but, you know, figure out something. But as many we can sell
is. You hear that, John? Get your order in.
That's awesome. You girls do a fantastic job. I'm so thankful for fresh ideas.
I know. I just want to say that they're going to start Sunday school now at 9:15 instead of 9:30, right? Online.
Online.
They're going to do 9:15 instead of 9:30. Karen wants to come back to church or whatever, but. So they're starting earlier so the kids can get their Sunday school in, and then they can come to church.
Great. So, good idea. And we have to get with Pastor Tracy and find out when we are going to be able to start Sunday school up, too. Most schools are going back so many days a week. I can't see why we can't do one-hour morning per week. So, but that's just my opinion. What's that? Like Ralph says, what's that matter? Okay, anybody else?
Tim, I'd just like to say how much through this first quarter here, we've been blessed by the ministry that's been opening their heart to be able to come and take care of us. And
yes, indeed.
Like Brother Sam and Garnet and Paul and Dylan and who did I forget? I don't know. But anyhow, all that's on the list back here, you know, it's just been wonderful. We've had a great time in fellowship and worship, and we just want to thank them so much for being able to take care of our needs like the good Lord takes care of our needs. So,
and now next Sunday, Pastor Tracy's back, right?
Yeah, next Sunday, Pastor Tracy will be back.
Okay.
And thank the congregation for always coming and sharing in this service. It just means so much. And right now, the sunshine, the days are longer. Kind of seems to brighten your spirits just as having everyone near us here. So thank you very much, family, church family.
Any other announcements?
Just one more there. I just want to say, for anyone that doesn't get online to see the Sunday school, the kids absolutely enjoy themselves.
It is fun. I've got to see it a couple times.
They do a lot of stuff. They do prayers. They do concerns, joy concerns, anything like that. And the kids just absolutely love it.
Great.
Tammy?
Yes.
Can you write down how we get that? Because I want to give it to my grandchildren.
Yeah. Chelsea can give it to you. Yeah, Chelsea will give it to you.
Well, she could, and to do that, she could even, Kelly or Chelsea could send Frank the link, get his email, and send him the link, and then he can give it to Sydney or Deidre or whoever.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, well, if we have no other announcements, Maxine has a music selection for us. Thank you, Maxine. That's beautiful. Call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will be abundantly pardoned. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. May we bow our heads. Father God, once again we come to you to give thanks and praise and honor for all that you do, for being our Father, for always taking care and watch over us. Father, now we just would pray that our ways, that your ways would become our ways, and that our thoughts would be solely on you. Amen. For our life has to begin with you if we are to have a life that's abundant. Amen. So, Father, we just ask that, again, you continue to be with us, lead us and guide us. And it is in your precious name, Jesus, we ask these favors and blessings. Amen. Amen. And now we'll have a little hymn.
Thank you.
Can anyone tell me who that picture was of?
Fanny Crosby.
Yes, indeed. Fanny Crosby. Just think, she was blind at youth, I believe. She wasn't very old when she became blind, and she wrote many a beautiful hymn. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is "To God Be the Glory." Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we share joys and concerns? Miss Maxine?
My daughter-in-law had to have emergency surgery yesterday morning. She's doing okay. She'll be home probably Tuesday.
Okay. Bob?
Again, one of my joys is just like I said there in the opening in the welcome part, for all the ministry that has, whenever I make a call, I got such a warm hand and a warm spirit that just allows things to come into place. So, again, thank the blessed ministers that have stepped in and been willing to give us their point of views as a message, and what a great, great job they have done, and we're just so appreciative of that. And then so thankful, too, that the good Lord has just blessed us again to be here and to enjoy this service, so, and see all these beautiful faces around us, and rather than to have to look back there and see President Biden. But anyhow, the rest of the faces are so, that's my opinion, the rest of the faces are so beautiful. We just give the Lord the credit to be here.
Miss Wanda.
I want to keep the Beard family in our prayers. They lost their daughter Barbara, which is Shirley Eichelberger's sister. Everybody remember Shirley from here? So please,
yes,
keep them in our prayers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Danny.
I want to keep my neighbor's wife on the prayer list. She's still having trouble. My mom is doing pretty well, but she's got a lot of things compounded right now between her mouth and her eyes and everything else that she still needs prayers. And then I want to put my brother on the prayer list. He was in an accident back before December. And he's still having mental problems and speaking issues from his injuries. And I just want to put all our young people on the prayer list, that their parents will bring them back to God and stop all this craziness.
Amen. Amen.
And in our military.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. You know, you say about the parents bringing their young people back. And in one of my prayers, I have the children, in one case, bringing their parents to God. So it goes both ways. Frank?
Pat is not with us this morning. She woke up ill this morning, so she wasn't able to make it. But we'll keep her in our prayers.
Okay.
I want to also ask a blessing upon everybody that came out this morning. I'm glad to see Sister Dolores,
mm-hmm,
and all the others that have been missing church due to illness and so forth. And Bob, my brother Bob, and Ralph, and Ricky over there, of course, Larry Cook. We just want to keep them in our prayers. But, of course, Brother Sam and Sister Jackson, we're so pleased to have them this morning, along with the rest of the pastors that have filled in for us.
Any others? I'd just like to keep the family of, I don't know Erica's maiden name, but her grandmother was a Clayton. She, years ago, was a secretary at Thurmont Elementary School. Anyway, Erica just had a newborn, a beautiful little baby, in January. And when she came home from the hospital, somehow, I guess, in the hospital, she contracted COVID. And I've been praying for her, and sometimes I don't understand, but I know God has other plans. But I just got word this past week that Erica passed away, and she has a newborn, and I believe the other's 2 years old. So let's just keep Erica, God knows who Erica is, in our prayers, and keep her family in our prayers and her children.
Debbie, I may also mention that Brother Sam and Sister Jackie is expecting a new grandchild of great grand.
Great grand. Okay.
I'm sorry.
One ring of the phone and off Virginia we go.
Keep them in our prayers.
And we need to keep caregivers in our prayers as well.
Then Wilton, too, and Tammy Packers with us.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned to me he's got an appointment here at the end of the month. At Hopkins, I think it is.
And again, there, Tammy's caregiver, it's a stress. It really is.
And the beautiful group that Tammy in the Sunday school and getting that started mm-hmm. up and carrying it on and being able to exercise that in good faith. And just being able to bring the children together.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the leaders there.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. We also need to keep our military, our country, and our leaders in
Amen.
In prayer.
We'll never even come up with a conclusion on this border situation.
Well, you know, I was reading in my Bible this week, one of the things was on Balaam. And, you know, if the Lord could reach Balaam through a donkey, who knows what can happen with our leadership. You never know. Might be a donkey go on the front steps of the Capitol building, or well, he'd have to get past the military. But you know, the Lord could even fly him over. Who knows? You know.
I'll tell you what. If he went on the front steps, he'd find his family inside.
All right, Brother Bob, I'm going to pray a special prayer for you. Okay.
It's called freedom of speech.
Yes, Brother Bob.
Let's use Ralph's theory.
Knock on wood. Yes. Okay, may we humbly come before the Lord however you're comfortable, whether it be in your seat or kneel, whatever. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, once again we come before you to give you the praise and honor and glory. Father, we want to thank you for all the many blessings, all the answered prayers, all the little God winks throughout our week that sometimes we fail to see. Father, we just can't thank you enough for loving us and for putting the plan of salvation out there that you would give your Son so that we could have the free gift of eternal life. Father, we could go on for hours and come up with issues and things that we've seen your work in our lives, and we just want you to know how grateful we are. Father, now the list is very long of those that need your healing touch, but we know that you are the God Almighty and that your hand reaches far and wide. Father, we just ask that you be with Maxine's daughter-in-law, that you would let her healing and her recovery go quickly and without much pain. Father, we think of Barbara Beard. We think of her family, like Shirley, her sister. We just ask that you be with that family and help them through this sorrowful time. We think of Danny's mom, who's had a struggle, ups and downs, and Father, she's gave just a tremendous fight, Father, and we know that your hand has been with her to help her through the things that she's went through. We think of Danny's neighbor's wife. We ask that you continue to keep your hand upon her. And Danny's brother, help him with his recovery. Touch him in a mighty way. Father, we think of our young people. Father, we need you now more than ever. This country, not everyone in this country knows that they need you, but those of us that know, we will continue to pray and pray that you would work in a mighty way through our young people, that and their, through their families, through the parents, that they would bring them back, that they would come back to you for guidance and for wisdom and for love. Father, for if we had you at the top of our list, there'd be a whole lot less hate, a whole lot less anger, a whole lot less hurt, Father. So, Father, we just, again, hear our prayers for those that are lost and need guidance. Father, we think of our military, that put their lives on the line every day, not only our military, but our police officers, our firefighters, our rescue team. We just ask that you watch over them, guide them, protect them, be with their families. Father, for I know that those mothers and sisters and daughters that are left here while their loved one is overseas or wherever, I know that there's a worry that they worry that their loved one may not return. So, Father, we just ask that you would be with them. Put your loving arms around them and just comfort them. Father, we think of those in our congregation that are ailing. We think of Pat and Bradley and Bob and Ralph and Ricky and Larry and Wilton. And Miss Dolores, and she was here today, so we just give you a special blessing for that. So, Father, we just ask that you would keep your hand upon each one that was listed here. You know each and every need, each and every ailment, and, Father, we just know that you're the great physician and that you will provide. So, Father, we just ask, we put them into your care that you may heal and lift up. Father, we think of the caregivers. It is a struggle. Especially if you're a caregiver that's still working and trying to maintain the home and trying to take care of your loved one. It is a lot, Father, but through you we can do many great things. Father, we think of our Sunday school team. It's such a blessing to have young people that will take charge and do your work and teach our young ones and bring them to you, Father. We just ask a special blessing upon each one that's on that Sunday school team and continue to strengthen them and guide them and give them wisdom. We think of our country, Father, and its leaders. You know, we kind of joke every now and then, Father, but you know what's truly on our hearts, and that is that you would, that the those in charge would come to you. Come to you on bended knee and ask for guidance and wisdom. If a king great as Solomon could come to you and ask for wisdom, then just the ordinary person, the ordinary leader of today, should be able to come to you. Sometimes pride gets in the way of that, Father, so we just ask that pride would float on down the river and that they would look to you for guidance in steering our country. Father, not only this country, but countries across the great lands, that they would come back to you so that we could live in peace and harmony. Father, lastly, we just want to thank you for the ministries that we've had in the past months. We've had different styles of preaching, but the messages and the messages were just awesome, and it was refreshing. And now when Pastor Tracy comes back, we'll be saying, we're just blessed to have Pastor Tracy back. We missed him too. So we just lift Pastor Tracy this day, that him and Pat have had a restful couple months and that he's refreshed and rejuvenated and ready to come back and take on the fold again. Mm-hmm. Father, we lastly just want to lift up Brother Sam and Sister Jackie and their family. May they have a blessed new arrival, healthy and happy. And Father, we just ask that you would bless their family and bless Brother Sam for his efforts, for we know that he has meditated and went over and over his message this week so that he could revive us and wake us up and give us your word. So Father, we just ask when he stands behind this sacred desk that your words would flow freely and that we as listeners would take part in opening our hearts and minds and absorbing what he has to say and what your word says. So, Father, we just thank you for that, and we ask that blessing. Now may we unite our hearts in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And it's extremely special coming from young people of that culture, because we all know that, I don't know if they're Chinese or not, but there's like, I was reading American Family Association, like there's 54 countries, I think it is, that don't want religion. And China, we know, is very dead set against religion, that the people have to worship in their homes and hide under curtains pulled down. So that's extremely uplifting, very uplifting. Thank you, Maxine. Okay, today's sermon is entitled, What to Do When You Lack Wisdom. Scripture reading today comes from James 1 through 5. Brother Bob, Sam likes me better than you. I only have one verse.
Bless you, sister. You deserve it.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. Now that I've read the scripture, we'll give Brother Sam our undivided attention.
Well, it is a delight to be at Rocky Ridge today. I agree with Ralph. It's a beautiful day in Rocky Ridge. I found out something this morning I thought was true, but I didn't. Now it's been said. Bob likes me better than he does the president.
Amen.
I better not go further than that. I'll get in trouble.
Don't get Bob started.
He's already started. I'm just trying to slow him down. Brother Bob mentioned about these speakers, and I'm one of them, and during this three-month period for the pastor, and from the schedule, we're filling in, but not really. I'm not here today to fill in.
Right.
I'm here to tell you the Word of God that I do every time, and have God speak to me, and God speak to you through His Word. So we thank the Lord for the opportunity to share, and I appreciate this church. As I mentioned one time, I've known this church way back to Reverend Arthur Rice.
Amen.
How many of you were here when Reverend Rice was here? All right, now you know him as a minister. I knew him as a next-door neighbor farmer.
Amen.
So you knew how he preached and how he lived also, but I knew how he lived as a young person growing up. He was the first person I ever heard preacher that had a built-in microphone. He didn't need one of these. He had a voice. When he said thunder in the voice of the Lord, you could hear the thunder. And so he really could preach the Word of God. So I appreciate you folks here, and we share together the Word of God. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your grace and kindness. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastor and for the guest speakers that have been here recently. All of us sharing your word with God's people in troubling times. But you're a great God. And we pray you'll bless the word of God today, as we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
What to do when you don't know what to do? If any of you lack wisdom. First point, admit that you lack wisdom. When you don't know what you're doing, admit you don't know what you're doing. The word lack has the idea of being left behind, destitute. You don't have the right tools. The word lack will be kind of like running out of gasoline. You got the car, you got the engine, but you're out of gasoline. You lack fuel in your car. In my younger days, I would run the car down onto fumes. So much so that my wife said, I hope you run out of gas. But she's got a problem. She said, I hope you run out of gas, but I don't want to be with you. But I know if I'm not, you'll never tell me. And I never did.
You never did tell her, did you?
I never did tell her. I ran out one time at the gas station and had guys help me push to the pump. So after 50 years, I finally told my wife. But that's a lack. Now, you can't blame the car for that. It's the driver that's probably out of something also. So it has the idea of lacking. Now, every text has a context. That is, every verse in the Bible, there's something around it that affects how we interpret this verse. So when it says, if any man lack wisdom, we need to go back to verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So James 1:5 was written to people that were living in difficult times. I think we can sure claim this verse now. Think about what Rocky Ridge and this church had to do in the past year. If someone, now I guess maybe last year, you may have closed down by now, churches were closing down mid-March last year.
15th of March.
All right, now we've just celebrated the two-week shutdown after 1 year. Did you hear me what I said? We just celebrated 1 year of the two-week shutdown. But churches had to decide. And with you folks and your love feast, things are not like they have always been. You've had to do things that the way you have the seating here is probably different than it was last year. My wife and I did attend one of your services in the parking lot last summer. I don't know if you generally have services in your parking lot.
Not usually.
But you did. So you lack wisdom. You ask the Lord, what should we do? You got certain government regulations. You don't want to be too much out of sorts, but you want to have services. You do things differently. The love feast, the tables the way they are. And so everyone in this past year has had to do a lot of wisdom. What would God have us do? And in this past year, my wife and I visited 20-some churches. Everyone does some things differently. Everyone differently. A couple weeks ago, this is the first time it happened on Sunday, they took our temperature when we came in. 96.7. I felt better already. But churches do things differently. So you ask the Lord, what would you have us to do? And then how to have an outreach in the community. And vacation Bible school is going to be different. Or the food bank in Thurmont, they had to do some things different. And the Lions Club had to do things different and meet different places. So we've really been a place in this past year where we've really had to say to the Lord, we don't know what to do. There's things coming. And so we ask the Lord for patience, for wisdom. Wisdom means seeing life from God's point of view. In one respect, maybe it's been good that we've gone through this last year because we figure out we can do things a little differently. I mean, as a pastor, sometimes we do the same thing the same way for 25 years. Well, maybe we do it a little bit differently now. And a number of churches where I'm speaking, they videotape the message and then they put it on the YouTube or on Facebook. And the one church, when they put it on, I thought, well, I'm going to look to see how I look on Sunday. And I told my wife, I walk up to the pulpit like an old man. So I don't come up the center anymore. I come up the side and come in like this. Probably pride. But some churches now with these videos are actually reaching more people than they came. The church that I'm preaching over at Frizzleburg has about 50 people, maybe 150 watch me on video. So there are different ways to do things that God has helped us. So we're looking at things from God's point of view. And raising children. You have to pray a lot. Lord, how do I handle this? How do I do it? We had a daughter that was the easiest to raise ever. I had a son that, if you know the farming term, he would always try the fences. So I kept the electric fence on. So I dealt with him differently than I did my daughter. And both of them now are serving the Lord. And so we asked, well, how do I handle this? Things in life. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, his ways past finding out." If you lack wisdom, admit you lack wisdom. Occasionally my computer does something that I don't know what's going on. I have a place in front of where I take it into them. I tell them, they are so good, it's disgusting. Because my computer is kaplunk, it's done. And they press three or four buttons and I'm up and going. And I'm trying to watch. Now they did tell me which three buttons I can press to escape. So at least now I can escape if I'm in a jam. So God has so many ways. I mean, think about it. God created this world. So what problem do you have God can't figure out? He made all of us. He made the stars, the skies, everything about us. In Colossians 2:3 it says, "In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And in Proverbs 9:10, which we are missing in our country more and more all the time, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." What's going on in America? We're losing the fear of God. Amen. Now, I went to Frederick County Schools, Lewistown Elementary, Elm Street Junior High, Frederick High School. I don't know if my teachers were Christians, but everyone drove the fear of God into us, if you know what I mean, in those days. And the principal in elementary school had a paddle on the wall, but it didn't always stay on the wall, and it wasn't for decoration. It was the original Board of Education to the seat of understanding, if you know what I mean. And so today, there's not the fear of God. Would we say Washington, D.C. lacks wisdom? Would we say our government lacks wisdom? Even with this COVID thing, lacked wisdom. Now, I don't know how it's going to work. I was telling Frank this morning, I don't know which state it is, but one of the states out west now, because the COVID is down, you can now ride a roller coaster in that state, but you can't yell. Are you serious? I mean, I had to have them repeat that. You can ride the roller coaster, but you can't yell. What kind of sense is... So those are kind of the things that... What is all that about? So people do lack wisdom. My second point. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There's a solution to it. I don't know what I'm doing. Last week, I think it was Friday, sitting in my office, within an hour, there were three items came up, and I didn't know what to do. My first reaction was, well, I'm sitting in the office, I don't know what to do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up and walk out of the office. And God reminded me what I was going to preach today, so I stayed. One was to call my primary care doctor, and they'll take care of things. So that wasn't that hard, and put it in their hands. So if you lack wisdom, ask of God. Just ask the Lord. Many years ago, our oldest grandson is 17, over 6 feet tall. When he was just a little child, maybe three or four, Drew was trying to open something. And he couldn't get it open, and he's crying, and he's fussing, and he's just, he's in a dither about the whole thing. My daughter-in-law, Crystal, this is kind of, Drew, if you ask me, I'll open it for you. And she said, if you ask, I'll open it. Find it, threw it to her. Run the clock ahead about 13, 14 years. And my daughter-in-law is on her new smartphone. And she said, Drew, how do I do this? I enjoyed it so much that it finally came back. And that happened with my wife. She wanted to get one of these smartphones. The problem in our home is you get a dumb guy. She got the smartphone, and she got it right after Christmas. And our 12-year-old granddaughter from Maryland was going to go with us to visit our relatives in Pennsylvania. And I enjoy going up US 15. I'm just going cruise control. And Jackie's, my wife is saying to Heidi, how do you do this? Then further along, how do you do this? It is so disgusting, these kids and these smartphones, and we're trying to figure out. With that smartphone my wife has, I can't even turn it on. I hear it if I have my hearing aid in, but I can't turn it on. I have the flip phone open, on, close, it's off. What's the problem? So we ask of God because he has all these things for us. Now, it's interesting. This word ask is ask of an inferior to a superior. So when we ask God, we're not demanding God. We're not telling God. We're asking God. Look at some things here. The next verse, verse 6. But let him ask in faith. When you ask God, believe he has the right answer for you. Nothing wavering. You don't say, Lord, I'm not sure you can do this. I'm not sure you've ever had this. Many times things come along with people, even the younger generation, they come up with something new. It's the same old thing we did back in school. And we didn't get away with it, and they didn't get away with it. So you ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers like the wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. So when we pray to God, we know God knows our problem. And God has the answer for us. Matthew 7:7. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly through the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, there's a difference between coming boldly and coming brazenly. And many times I begin my prayer by saying, Lord, I'm coming boldly because you told me to come. Because I'm not the kind of a guy just to go barging in. And I wouldn't pray if God didn't invite me. But God says, just ask. Just ask. And I'll do it. And so we come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. And are we ever in a time of need? Now, I think in the day in which we live, it may be a confession of an old man, but as I mentioned, I think things are more complicated than they used to be. Amen. The telephone. How many of you grew up on a party line? You pick up the phone and you hear operator. You got it. And one ring is Mr. Duty, and two rings is Mr. Stahl, and three rings Mr. Clem, and four rings is Mr. Martz. And so that was it. Then, man, we got up, and we got the dial tone, and you turn that, remember, you turn that, you dial it that way. It's funny because they've given some kids one of those old phones and said, call somebody. And they don't know what to do. We just dial. And then they got one who had the numbers on it. Man, are we going? And then an area code. And then a guy called me one day, and he said, Pastor, I got a cordless phone. What's a cordless phone? He said, I'm walking around the house. You mean you're not hooked to a phone? A cordless phone? And then we got a cell phone. Well, I didn't want a cell phone because I wouldn't want to go to jail. Cell phone's in the cell. Am I right? And then the flip phone and then the smartphones. Things are more complicated. And when they get on the internet and there's things I got to do, and it'll say, easy instructions. I'm stuck. I went in the other night, and I don't know what my password is. After four times, it locked me up, and I turned it off. I'll talk to you later. So I think that things, we are more complicated. A lot of us grew up, when you bought a car, you bought one you can work on. Change the plugs, change the oil, change the transmission, change this, change that. Yeah. My son's a great mechanic. He just bought a new Yukon. Drove it home, cracked the hood, said, forget it. He doesn't even know where the motor hardly is. So life is more complicated, but God knows what to do about these things. So it says that we should ask the Lord. James 4 says, you have not because you ask not. You didn't ask. Many things with my wife and me, when we're doing things, she'll pray about something. I don't pray about it. Our church one time, right after we got our new building in, just down in the D.C. area, right after, we were in the new church, a nice, beautiful white church, and we got a notice from one of the government agencies that we had a backfield that they needed for a staging area for a pipeline coming through our area. And all these big dump trucks and all this equipment going by our nice new church. And so we declined the offer. They said, no, you don't have an option. We're going to give you $25,000 and we're coming in. And we're going to use your field. Thanks so much for my input. So they gave us a check. But you know what my wife did? She prayed that with the $25,000, they wouldn't use our property. Now, I can't pray that because I signed the contract. She prayed they won't use it that much. And so about a month or so into it, there was a pile of dirt out there, a couple of dumb truckloads. The head manager came by and he said, Reverend, I want to talk to you. And I thought, well, here we go. He said, we've had a change in plans. You can keep it $25,000, but we won't need to use your property. Just what my wife had prayed. And she told me she prayed that. And on the way home, I thought, do I tell her what just happened? I hate those words, I told you so. But you know what I thought? That was between my wife and the Lord. And you better not mess around with someone's relationship with the Lord. So I told her what the man said, and she didn't say, I told you so. A lot of things, if we would just pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to show us what we should do. My next point, if you lack wisdom, admit it. Let him ask of God. You ask wisdom. You accept then and apply the wisdom that God gives to you. Let him ask of God. And what's God going to do? Is he going to say, well, you dummy? No. It says he will give. Give freely to all men liberally. That means generously. A lot of times we pray for things and God gives us far more than. Did you ever pray something and God gives you far more than that? You pray for a cup and God gives you a bucket of blessings. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me. And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Now, I do keep pretty good records of my ministry, every sermon I preach, where I preach it, so forth. But also, every year, I keep a diary and include in that diary great answers of prayer during the year. And at the end of this month, I will finish 59 years in the ministry. So I've got 59 years of how God answered prayer. And personally, I don't remember those things if I didn't write it down. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Just happened to be. No, it didn't just happen to be. I just happened to be at the right place. No, God led me. And so when Satan tempts me, God's not doing anything. I keep it in my directory on the Y for a year. So when Satan tempts me and says, God's not doing anything, I say, Satan, go down and look in the Y file and see what God's been doing. You talk about it. It's not a happenstance. It's God answering prayer, and we keep a record of it. And a lot of things God answered. There have been times that recently, I wouldn't even say it's an answer prayer. I didn't even have time. That brief prayer, help. That's not a long prayer, is it? And so God does give to us liberally. We have a generous God, showers us with blessing. It says he gives to a woman liberally But I like the next one too. And upbraids not. The word means reproach, defame, scold. Do you ever ask somebody something and they say, you mean you don't know that? All right, listen. If I knew it, I wouldn't ask. Right? You mean I told you yesterday? Well, today. I mean, I know what I had for breakfast. So I want to remember what you told me yesterday. So have you ever, there are people, when you ask them a question, they've always got to put you down first before they give you an answer. And if I can't, I will admit, it's probably pride. But I'd rather have what Bob says about me than somebody say, well, you're a dumb preacher. So, you know, maybe it's pride. I don't know. But God doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't say, you mean I made the earth and you don't know that? He does not upbraid us. Does not defame us. You ask, he's going to give it to you. Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? If God really wanted to put us away, he could do it rather quickly. Have you ever had anybody say, if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me with lightning? My general comment is, please go outside. I don't want the house struck by lightning. But have you taken notice? People never say that during a thunderstorm. When the lightning is crashing and banging, the house is jarring. Where are they then? So God does not upbraid us. Then it says, it shall be given him. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Pray and God will give it to you. James 4:6, God gives more grace. Do we ever need grace? And so God gives us grace. Now, that's the New Testament. What I want to do is go in the Old Testament. If I would ask you people, generally, who do we say is the wisest man in the Bible? Probably say King Solomon. So I want to take just a little bit of time with King Solomon. How did he get to be so wise? Well, he graduated from my Bible college. Well, no, maybe that's not it. He got a PhD somewhere. You know, the people today die by degrees. They don't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. And I know some of these people now, we have a farmer in our church, and he gets so irritated with people that are coming out of D.C. farming by a book. You don't farm by a book, you farm by a tractor and cows or horses or whatever it is you're farming. They have book sense, but they don't have common sense. All right, a donkey maybe. All right, 1 Kings 3:7. Here's King Solomon. David, his father, had just died. Can you imagine if you had to follow King David? He was king for 40 years. He was a great man. I know he had some sin in his life, but he was a great man. So here is King Solomon, just been appointed king. And so God comes to him in verse 5 and says, ask what I would give you. What would you like to have? Here he is, opening day. Can you imagine the president of America? Before he gives the inaugural address, God says, what would you like to give me? What would you say? Let's see what Solomon said. God said, ask anything, give it. I'll give it to you. Verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father, and I'm but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. Can you imagine? Solomon says, Lord, you just made me king, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this thing. Now, when I work with my son-in-law, who was a great carpenter and great builder and so forth, he'll say, Pop, just go do this and so. I say, Mark, how do I do that? And I told the family, I don't know why it is that God is using me to teach my son-in-law patience. But sometimes, I always tell him this, Mark, I've sawed this board three times and still too short. He hasn't figured out what to say to that one yet. So. But I don't know what to do. Mark, how do I do this? And then he'll, okay, then. And many times I say to him, Mark, I don't know what you're doing ahead of time, but I understand what you're doing as you're doing it. I couldn't go ahead, but I understand. So here's Solomon saying what? Admit you lack wisdom. Solomon said, I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. So he takes lack wisdom. Then verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may be discerned between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? So he asked God. God said, what would you like? Solomon said, I would like wisdom. So if someone ever tells you, Solomon is the greatest man in the Bible. Why? He asked for wisdom. Now, we're going to look at verse 10 then. If you ask of God, ask for wisdom, and then God gives you wisdom. Verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. He said, because you'd asked this thing, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for life of your enemies, but you asked for a discerning heart. God said, I'm going to give you that. So God gave him this wisdom. And behold, I've done according to your words. I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there be none like you before you nor after you. Solomon was a wise man. He lacked wisdom. He asked of God, and God gave him. Now, it's too long of a passage to read. But immediately after God gave him wisdom, here's the wisest man on earth. He was presented with a biological miracle. Two women gave birth to the same baby. I mean, this woman says, I gave birth. This woman says, I gave birth. So you got two women gave birth to the same baby. Second miracle. One of the babies is dead. And he never had a birth. Both had one mother, and one had no mother. What are we going to do here? So Solomon said, God, you say it's yours, and you say it's yours. So the living baby belongs to you, and to you, that dead baby, to neither. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to take a big knife, and we'll cut the living baby in half, and each mother can have the half. And the one mother said, oh, no, don't do that. And the other mother said, yeah, go ahead and do it. Now, mothers, you know how you would respond. You know who's got the real baby. And there's no mother on earth that you know you gave birth. That other woman is lying. But you're not going to have that baby cut in half just to spite the other woman. And so Solomon said, this woman that cried out is a real mother. This woman is a fake mother. And all Israel said, wow, what wisdom. So aren't you glad that Solomon had that wisdom right then? And you mothers would understand that very well. And here a man, Solomon, made the right decision because he asked for God's wisdom. Now, we're asking God for wisdom. We don't know what all is coming, but we know who to go to. When you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give it to you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks that you gave Solomon wisdom. You will give us wisdom, and we sure need it in the day in which we live and the decisions to make. Bless your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
prayer. Father, we pray you'll keep us near the cross. Thank you for the cross that gave us salvation. And we pray now as we go through our lives that we'll have your wisdom in our lives, that we may bring glory to you. Bless this church for your glory. In Christ's name.